Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Today we begin our study of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Theologically, Romans is probably the most important book of the New Testament, yet it also contains some very practical passages. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 1 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola introduces us to this book that contains the most systematic presentation of Christian theology that one can find in God's Word.
The book of Romans. This book was called the Magna Carta by the Protestant Reformation because of that verse in Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by faith. It is the first of 13 epistles that Paul wrote, and it scales the height and depth of all kinds of theology. We're going to be covering all kinds of important doctrines as we go through this book, but it's also probably one of the most practical books, because after 11 chapters of incredible theology, Paul says in chapter 12, I therefore beseech you, brethren, and on the behalf of Christ, that you present yourself a living body, you know, a living sacrifice. In other words, that's the sacrifice. That's the altar call that Paul gives after 11 chapters of theology. It's not what you know. It's what you believe. And it's how you live. Paul, we know, didn't find the church at Rome. There is a tradition of a church in Rome, I won't say which one it is, that tells us that Peter was its founder, but there is really no biblical basis for that. There is some conjecture how this church was founded. We'll see today that it may have been because of, on the day of Pentecost, there were some people from this area who were there, and many believe that they went back and started the church in Rome. Many people believe that there were Christians from established churches in Asia, Macedonia, and Greece who settled to Rome. Don't forget, Rome was like the capital of the world. It was the most cosmopolitan city. It was a harvest field. So many people wanted to be in Rome. And there's those that believe that there were people from Asia, Macedonia, and Greece who settled in Rome, led others to Christ. By the time that Paul wrote this letter, some historical records tell us that it was a city of around 1 million inhabitants. One ancient inscription even says that it could have been up to 4 million. And we will see that the church in Rome was well known. It had been established for several years by the time that Paul sent this letter. There's a historian, Tacitus, to refer to the Christians who were persecuted under Nero in 64 AD as an immense multitude, an immense multitude. Paul wrote this epistle approximately 57 AD, near the end of his third missionary journey. That third missionary journey of Paul is recorded in Acts chapter 18, verse 23, through Acts chapter 21, verse 14. And Paul presents in this epistle Jesus Christ in chapter 5 as being the second Adam, whose righteousness and substitutionary death has provided for all who repent and turn to him by grace through faith, righteousness, or a right standing with God. In fact, righteousness is going to be one of the themes that will be looked at very, very extensively throughout this book. Chapters 1 through 8 reveals God's sovereign plan of salvation. Chapter 9 through 11, how the Jews and the Gentiles fit into that plan. And then in chapters 12 through 16, the practical application of this book. Romans, again, was written from Corinth 25 years after Paul's conversion. You can read the conversion accounts of Paul in the book of Acts chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. And remember when Paul met Jesus, there was a radical change in his life, wasn't there? It's impossible to meet Jesus without your life radically changing. And it's interesting that Paul said, Lord, what will you have me do? What will you have me do? He didn't ask the question, what will you do for me? He says, what will you have me do? And so these epistles of Paul are not only written to the Romans and the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians, they are written to you and me. And they're written for edification, they're written for doctrine, they're written to give us comfort, they're written to correct us, they're written to instruct us. And some people call this the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul begins this letter with these words, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice here, saints, Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus is not your servant, my servant. We are his servants. And you probably already know this, but the Greek word for servant is the word doulos. And this is not a servant who works for pay, like an employee who has the right to choose where they live. They ask how much are they going to earn and all of that. This is a bond slave. This is someone who has been purchased. The Old Testament example of what a bond slave is would be found in the book of Exodus chapter 21. That was a servant who loved their master, who had no rights. They were the absolute possession of their master. You can read of this in Exodus chapter 21 and get all of the details. In Rome at this time, there were many, many, many slaves. Many slaves, but that slavery is not to be confused with the slavery that took place in our nation in the 1800s. Notice here, Paul again calls himself the bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that is probably the most accurate translation, a bondslave. In other words, Paul recognized when he met Christ that he was no longer in charge. Everything of his past came to an end. Now, there's a progressive working out of that coming to an end. But when he met Christ, there was a radical change. Jesus was Paul's master. And Jesus is our master this morning, saints. Our Lord told us in the Gospels, no man can serve two masters. And you are controlled by whatever you live for. Whatever a person lives for is what controls them. There's a lot of talk about wanting to be independent these days. Never make independence your master. It will bury you. Jesus Christ is the only master that does not enslave you. Jesus Christ is the only master who sets you free. And here Paul begins this incredible letter. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a slave of Jesus Christ. And the idea here, as you read not only Romans, but all of Paul's epistles, is one of a privilege. You don't see Paul whining. You don't see Paul moaning. You don't see Paul upset. You read his epistles, and his walk with the Lord was not a very easy one, was it? Wasn't a very easy one. In fact, in his prison epistles, in this past year, like you guys know, we've been quarantined, and many of the saints at Koinonia say, well, Pastor Ray, I don't know what to do when I'm quarantined. Well, look what Paul did when he was quarantined. Look at what Paul did when he was shut in. Where would we be without the prison epistles? Just think of a Bible without Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. He saw God's hand in every area of his life. And he used wherever he was to minister to Jesus Christ. And here, Paul sets the tone. He's writing not as a theologian, though he's a theologian. Not as a Bible scholar, though he's a Bible scholar. He writes this as a servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul would say that it was the love of Christ that constrained him. Never listen to anybody who doesn't love Jesus Christ. I don't care how bright they are, how theological they are. If there isn't a love for Jesus Christ, they're just giving you theology. It might be correct. It should be correct. But Paul was a servant apprehended by Christ, and he loved his master. And for Paul, he would say in Philippians, for me, what? To live is Christ and to die is gain. And this should encourage us. If we are praying for people who seem far away from the Lord, are you praying for somebody that seems so far away from the Lord? Oh, he'll never get saved. She'll never get saved. Remember what Paul was like? Paul was the guy that you wouldn't want to run into as a Christian. He was the guy that would have arrested you, beat you, persecuted you. He was the guy. And I wonder how many people, well, first of all, said he'll never get saved. But I wonder how many people pray for him. So many people may have prayed, I know, prayed for me. He'll never get saved. He'll never get saved. Are you kidding me? He's just going to be wood for the fires of hell. Never write anybody off. You just keep praying. Paul was once the fiercest enemy. God apprehended him, and he became one of the greatest witnesses for Jesus Christ. And what changed him? Was a personal encounter with Christ. Notice he was called to be an apostle. This was not a job that Paul selected for himself. It wasn't a job that he applied for. He was called into it. So he was called to be an apostle. The hardest thing to be in the body of Christ is something that you're not called to be. And so one of the keys for each one of us is to understand what is God's calling upon my life. Called to be an apostle. You know that the word apostle means one who is sent out. Every believer has a calling within the body of Christ. Just like the human body has different body parts, different functions. Every believer has a vital part to play in the body of Christ, a calling from God. Paul was not a pastor over a single congregation. Paul went from place to place spreading the gospel. It says in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good things, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigns. And this is going to be referred to by Paul in the 10th chapter of Romans. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings. In Ephesians chapter 6, we find a reference to the whole armor of God. And part of the armor of God is that our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so Jesus, at the end of Mark's gospel, says, go ye into all the world. And that means go. And as you're going, in the way you're going, wherever you're going, have your feet prepared to preach the gospel of peace. You know, this past year has been pretty interesting, hasn't it? And you see a lot of believers that are being pulled into all different kinds of directions, on all different topics, in all different areas of things that we are all going through. But we have a mandate from God. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel is a declaration. The gospel is not a political message. It's not a racial message. It's not a medical message. It's a message of redemption. That's what we are to be doing. Not pulled off to one side or the other side. And those are issues that we have to know how to deal with prayerfully as believers. But our primary call is to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ who share his wonderful gospel. Paul called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Whose gospel? God's gospel. There is only one gospel given unto men whereby we must be saved. Now, what does separated mean? The word separated means to be set apart. It means to be moved away from everything else. Set apart. Separated from what? From myself. Our greatest enemies are, we hear, the world and the devil. That's true. But the guy that I have the hardest time with is myself. I have to fight the good fight of faith. And many times that fight is within me. And I have to realize, like Paul, that when he saved me, there was a transfer of ownership. And now my life belongs to him. That's what it means, separated from. But then what? Into some kind of a vacuum? No, separated from self unto God. From self unto the Holy Spirit, from self unto Jesus Christ. Again, Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Separated unto the gospel of God. This is the gospel that would cause Paul to lose or forsake everything and anything. This cost Paul everything. And there is a cost. We can't redeem ourselves, but there is a price to following Jesus. Jesus said, count the cost. There is a cost. There's choices that we have to make. And these choices are to be made by the second, by the minute, by the hour, by the day, by the week. You think of making a choice, oh, for the rest of my life, how long? Well, that's pretty... Just think of it. Paul said to, I think it was the church of Corinth, he says, in Christ, I die daily. Okay? Right here, right now, today, is the opportunity God's given you and me to live for Christ. Whatever that means, wherever that takes us, right now, it's living for Christ. He's like the balance beam in our life. Everything now in my life has to revolve around him. If it doesn't revolve around him, it's a form of godliness. It's a form of religion. There's no power. There's no life. There's no passion. There's no reason. It's not the gospel of God. Separated, totally consecrated to this gospel of God. Remember when Paul wrote to the Galatians? Notice where he writes in chapter 1, verse 15 of Galatians, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. So the call that God has upon you and upon me, and we'll plunge into this a lot more when we get to chapter 9, when you get into the biblical doctrine of the absolute sovereignty of God. It's from Genesis to Revelation. It is one of the key doctrines of Scripture. Paul says, I was separated from my mother's womb. In other words, before I knew that I was going to be an apostle, before I knew what my life was destined for, God had already planned for me to be saved. He already planned for me to be his ambassador. Now, I find great comfort in that, that God's in control, and not you, and in not me. Gospel means what? You know. What does it mean? Good news, yes. The gospel is not good advice. It's not a good suggestion. The gospel is the greatest news on earth. It's not the greatest show on earth. Unfortunately, sometimes the gospel is portrayed as looks more like a circus than a proclamation. And who's this gospel for? This gospel is for all nations. Isaiah 52:10 says, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. And we'll look at this a little bit more. The good news, the gospel. Remember that this morning. It's good news. We're creatures that are somewhat affected by what's around us. It gets a little weary and gloomy, doesn't it? I have a brother-in-law that I love very much, but he annoys me. He lives in Honolulu. And from time to time, he texts his sister just to ask my wife, Elizabeth, how are we doing? And then he said, how's the weather? Well, he knows. And when the sun comes out, it's like a UFO around here, right? Yeah. So there are so many things that can really weigh us down. Circumstances and all kinds of other things, and because that's just how we're wired. But we need to remember that the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. It's as good news here today in Finger Lakes as it is in Honolulu. It's just good news. And it's the good news because it's the record of what God has done for sinners by grace through Jesus Christ, that we might be raised from a place of deadness, born dead in trespasses and sins, alive unto God, born again, having new life, having hope. And notice this gospel, it says in verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures. Jesus said to his fiercest opponents, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they testify of me. All scriptures pointed forward to this announcement that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Remember in Luke chapter 24, verses 26 and 27, Jesus said to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, actually verses 25 through 27, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Wouldn't you like to have a recording of that? How long did that take? All the scriptures. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, when Peter was sent to Cornelius and God used him to lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, he says in verse 42 and 43, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he, that is Jesus, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Titus 1:2 tells us that this gospel was promised before the world began, before the world was created. So before Genesis 1:1, the gospel was set in place. So the gospel is not an afterthought. It's not like something God created Adam, God created Eve, put him in the garden, and then he goes, now what? God doesn't have to figure things out. He's never surprised. We are. He's never caught off guard. We are. He has perfect wisdom, perfect power. And so, again, we'll get into this much more in Acts chapter 9 of how God knows the end from the beginning. This gospel was declared before the world began. Jesus was the Lamb of God, it says in the book of Revelation. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Wow. He promised by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Notice, not in the Quran, not in the Bhagavad Gita, not in the Book of Mormon, not in any other book, in the Holy Scriptures. Those are the only books that Jesus referred to. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.